We're also just kicking off Vision Month. Well, actually, it was last week, really, the kickoff of Vision Month. And so Deb is actually speaking our second week to the vision that we are rolling out to the church for this year. So this is going to be a great word. Thanks, honey.
All right, awesome. Well, wonderful to see you all these beautiful smiley faces out there. And I just want to say a special welcome to you. If we haven't met you yet, if you're new to Thrive, then we are looking forward to getting to know you. We hope you just feel so welcomed in this place and that this is a place of belonging for you. I thought you all did so well with that shout out to Renew Church. Like, good on you, great passion in this room. And let's just continue on leaning in together, passionate for Jesus as we continue through this service. Now, before when I was just, actually before church started, just had this word which relates to what Glenn was saying about the sails setting, the ship setting its sails, going straight for the mark. And I just had this word marked come to my mind. And I just had the sense that there are people in this place, you have been marked by God. You've been marked by his presence. And there's almost been this wrestle within you to go, oh, maybe I can just kind of get away with just that bit or just this bit or just a little bit of God. But I feel like, just to tell you today, you've been marked by his presence. Don't settle for anything less than all of him. Don't settle for anything less than the fullness of life in him. Now, Ephesians chapter 1 says, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So if you're doing that wrestle with God today, I encourage you to take some time to seek him over this coming week. Nothing is going to satisfy you like the presence of God will. All right, actually, one more thing before we get into the word. Just had a sense that there's some people here who are believing for a house. Maybe you need a house to buy. Maybe you need a house to rent. Is there anyone here who's in that position? You're looking for a house. No? Yes? Okay. Oh, yeah, there's a few. Okay, Ken, do you three mind standing up so the rest of the church can see you? Is that all right? Just so we can just put a hand towards you and pray. That's all we're going to do. Nothing scary. So just anyone that's believing for a house. Okay, people around them, can you just stretch your hand towards them? We're just going to believe God is the supplier of all our needs. We're going to believe for the provision of houses for you. So, Father, we thank you that you are our good Father and you have good gifts for your children. So over these people who are standing right now believing you for a house, God, we thank you that you have their house in mind, that you have that place for them to call home. And so in the name of Jesus, we just release that over them. I thank you for the right doors opening for them. I thank you for favor with the right people. God, just point them towards the right place that is for them. And I thank you too, God, just for them getting to the top of the list in those and that housing battle that there is at the moment. Father, we agree together for houses, release the right house for these people in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So last week, I just wanted to say thank you to you all for celebrating 10 years with Glenn and I. And if you weren't here last week marked 10 years of Glenn and I being lead pastors at Thrive Church. And it's kind of hard to believe it's been that long because it's just gone. A lot of the time it's gone really fast, but then we look back and we remember Josiah was just like 4 months old when we stepped into this role. So a lot of time has passed, and it's such a privilege for us to be still standing in this position and just be able to go, all right, God, we are all for you, and we are here for the next whatever number of years that looks like. Everybody last week was kind of like next 10 years. God knows what's going to happen. We just want to continue to be obedient to him. So it's our privilege for Glenn and I to get to shepherd this amazing church alongside of our team. And so, yeah, thank you so much for all your prayers, for all your support, all the encouragement, and just for partnering with us in the vision that God has for this place and for this region. So last week, Glenn shared around his heart around some of the things that have shaped us as a church and us as pastors over the last 10 years. And I'd encourage you just to check out that podcast if you haven't already, just to hear what he had to say. And then he went on to talk about honey, and his honey as in liquid honey, as in the stuff you eat, and his encounter, we would say, is probably a good word, at Glentui a few weeks ago with a whole lot of wasps. So he was describing it to me a bit more the other day. Basically, there was like wasps just thick in the air, and it's kind of almost like go like this to get through the wasps. He talked about a man that he met there in a beekeeper's suit. And this man was disturbing those wasps. He was poisoning them, getting rid of them. And there was chaos in that moment. And the man said to Glenn, come back in a few weeks and you'll see this place filled with bees. And Glenn was likening it to, you know, just as the wasps had to be unseated to make room for the honey to flow, so too, when the devil is just unseated and he tries to create chaos, ultimately it's creating room for honey to flow, for the goodness of God. And I was just looking up that word honey a little bit more and what it speaks of in the Bible, and it's talking about God's goodness, his abundance, his blessing, his provision, his strength, its health, its healing, its wisdom, and it's his words. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the honey. That is what's being made available to us. So on Friday, I decided that I wanted to go for a walk, and we actually took Josiah out of school for the day. Shh, don't tell anyone. He just needed a day off, and Abby was with us, and I thought, let's go for a walk at Glen Tui. And not because Glen had preached this message, but just I wanted to do a bush walk, and it's a good length of walk to do. So we headed there, and as soon as we got out of the car, the first thing that we noticed was this constant low hum, this buzz in the ear, like quite a loud buzz, wasn't it? And just constantly on the walk, the sound of bees. As we were walking along, just looking at the beauty of it all, I just said to Josiah, what do you notice? And he said, it smells sweet. And I wish I could like bring the smell to you so you could smell it. But it was like the air was filled with the sweet smell of honey, like thick in the air. And maybe it was honeydew. I don't know if Tristan's here. He'd probably be able to tell me what was going on. But there was, whatever the case, there was room for the bees. The bees were there. The wasps had gone. And so the honey could start to flow. All right, we're just going to pray before we get into the Word of God. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here with us. And we just welcome your presence into our lives in a greater way today. We thank you for the revelation of your word. We thank you for you to just go deep with the things you want to do in us today. God, we give this time to you. I thank you, God, for your word achieving everything that you intend it to accomplish this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, at the start of January, I was praying about this year, and I just found myself praying, God, establish your work in me. God, establish your work. And that's not like a prayer that I've ever prayed before. It's like, what? Where did that come from? And I felt him say that this is a time for us to be established. This is a time for Thrive Church to be established. And I believe it's time for the church as a whole to be established. Now, what does that word mean? That's not a word that we use very often in day-to-day life. So I looked it up in the dictionary, and establish means this. It means to institute something permanently, to make firm or stable, or to set up on a firm or permanent basis. So it implies that something's already been in existence, but that it is becoming permanent and strong. 1 Peter 5:10, it says this, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. I love that verse. Now, I don't like that first part, the S word. Most of us don't like that suffering word. We try to avoid it at whatever cost possible. And this text is written by Peter to the church. And just a bit of background, the church had been in intense persecution, and so people had been sent in all different directions. They'd scattered. They'd left businesses, families. So it was a suffering church, a church in bits and pieces, a fragmented, dislocated church. These Christians understood pain. They understood what suffering was about. And they were trying to pick up their lives in new areas. You know, and Peter can relate to this. He had done the journey of suffering and of restoration himself. He would have been thinking, you know, he was pulled in different directions. He had stood so firm and sometimes in so much faith, and other times he had bowed down to fear, even to the point of denying Jesus. But he would have been saying, but Christ said to me, it was my prophetic destiny to become a rock. And it is the prophetic destiny for each and every person here, for each one of us to live strengthened, firm, secure, permanent in Him as our rock. And I was just thinking about that verse, and there's a lot of people who have been through a lot. And I think the last few years, the church has been through a lot, individuals have been through a lot. But I love the promise of this verse that says, the God of all grace will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So that's a word for, I think, a lot of people here today, and maybe you're partway through that process. You're partway through the restoration process. Maybe you've been strengthened, and He is wanting to establish us. So if we just look a little bit, just as a Greek meaning for some of these words, because I think it's really cool, we could kind of say, like, through the grace of God, He will restore, which means completely and thoroughly repair us. That is a good promise. It says He'll confirm us. That means make us secure or turn us resolutely in a certain direction, like that sailing ship. Strengthen us and establish us. And that means here to consolidate us, ground us, make us stable or settled. Good promises there. So I felt God say this over Thrive Church. He said, you are being established, and over every person He's saying, He is establishing us. He is making us firm, stable, and set up on a permanent basis. There is something strong and more permanent that God is doing in us and in our families and in the church. And I felt Him say that Thrive Church is being established in the community. The church will be a beacon of light and hope to the community. Dreams we have carried together will be established. This is a time of more influence, more strength, and more kudos in the community. He is preparing His bride, the church. And His name will be glorified through the church. And I don't just mean our church here, I mean church with a capital C, the church of this nation and of this world. He will be glorified through it. Now, during the week, I did a little bit of research about what makes a plant established, because often we'll talk about an established garden or established plant, and I read this. I thought it was pretty cool. You'll know something is established because it suddenly looks bigger, stronger, or is more floriferous. Had to look that up, producing more flowers, many flowers. It's simply more noticeable. So that's what an established plant looks like, and I believe that that is what God is doing for each one of us as individuals and for this church. Now, that doesn't just happen, and it also can't happen by us just trying hard, by going, right, I'm going to be planted, I'm going to try hard, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stand strong and secure. Yes, we have to be, like set our course, absolutely, but we can't make ourselves established. The only way for us to become established is through Jesus. He does the establishing. Like that verse said, He will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And I found a whole lot more scriptures, so we're just going to quickly go through some of these. 2 Corinthians, He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God. 1 Thessalonians, so that He may establish your hearts. Romans 16, now to Him who is able to establish you. Proverbs 16, commit to the Lord whatever you do and He will establish your plans. Hosea 2, I will establish my people in the land and make them prosper. It is God who establishes us. Now, in October last year, Glenn and I were meeting with some incredible ministers, and one of them just mentioned, just dropped into a conversation, this verse. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17. And we're going to talk a lot more about that verse as the year goes on. But in that moment, it felt like something just dropped into my spirit. And when we got to the car, both Glenn and I just kind of looked to each other and said, we realized that God had spoken prophetically to both of us in that moment. And we knew that that is the key verse for Thrive for this year. In Him, we live and move and have our being. And so our theme for this year is established in Him. God is the one who establishes us, who makes us secure, firm, and permanent. And it is only in Him that we are established. But we have to position ourselves, like I said before. So to be established, I think the first thing we need to do is to live continually in Him. knowing that every day we need more of him. What we had yesterday is not enough. We need fresh, living water today. And Psalms talks about the tree that draws its life from the water. And I just want to read this passage to us. So Psalm 1:1-3, it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." Now that is God's desire for each and every one of us, that we would be planted by streams of living water, that our leaf would not wither, that we would prosper. That's his heart. And that tree, it doesn't have any other option than to send its roots out to the stream. That is the only place that can sustain the tree. And it's for us, it's only by believing and receiving from Jesus every day that we can live strong in him, and that those streams of living water can flow into us and through us. Now, there's a lot more in that verse. It talks about righteous living. It talks about meditating on the law of God. And we're going to talk more about that, break that open over coming weeks and months. And like Glenn said too, it's about a yielded, surrendered life. Now, maybe in the past, this kind of goes a little bit back to my marked word, it seemed as though we could get away with living off a previous encounter. You know what? Do you know what I mean by that? You kind of have this moment with God and then you go, like, that's enough to sustain me. That'll be okay. But we can't do that. And I think too, in this time in history, where it's almost like our culture is yelling at us with everything that opposes the word of God, we have to be firmly planted in his word. We've got to be daily drawing from the well of his living water. Here's another verse that says this well, Colossians 2:7. I encourage you, write these verses down, like look them up during the week. Take time to meditate in these scriptures. It says this, "Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving." It is as we live daily, continually in him, that we flourish. And who wants to be a flourishing Christian? Who wants to be a flourishing follower of God? Just a flourishing human and have a flourishing family? Okay, I reckon, yeah, there was like 50% of people. Who wants to flourish? Yes, Lisa doubly wants to flourish. Go, Lisa. You are flourishing. Now, the Christchurch Botanic Gardens are probably our favourite date day destination, or one of, some place we go to reasonably often. And something that always blows me away when I go there is just thinking about the fact that somebody founded these gardens. They didn't just kind of suddenly happen. Somebody carried the vision for this to be a place of beauty for generations to come. And if you know the history of the area, yes, there was a river, and there still is a river flowing through it, but it was just barren grassland. Before that, it was probably beautiful native bush, but at the time that the gardens were established, it was bare grassland. But somebody had a vision. They carried a vision in their heart, and they planted one tree. There was one tree planted first of all, and then there were numerous seeds and plants. But that they would carry that vision in their heart so that a garden of beauty could be created for millions of people to enjoy across multiple generations and for more generations to come. I think that's incredible. And just want to say today too, don't underestimate the power of the seeds that you've sown. To people in this room today, you need to know what you have sown is precious. And it still carries the power for exponential growth in the hands of God. The prayers that you have prayed, and I have my grandma's Bible, and she went on to be with Jesus 5-7 years ago, thanks Glenn, but her Bible is, there's so many passages underlined in there, and it's really special actually to go through and be reading it, and then I'm highlighting some of the same scriptures she's highlighting. And I know that she was such a woman of prayer and of faith, and she would be praying things over her grandchildren and over her great-grandchildren. And I know that we are reaping some of the seeds that she has already sown. And so don't underestimate what God can do with the seeds that you're sowing. So to be established requires legacy. This is not just a one-generation thing. This is about your children. This is about your grandchildren, about your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, or maybe it's about your nieces and nephews and your great-nieces and nephews. It's about the generations to come. What you are choosing to do today is going to have a ripple effect through the generations. Now, Genesis 26. This gives an account of Isaac and the blessing that God reaffirms to him. This is the same blessing that God had spoken to Isaac's father, Abraham. And it talks about the incredible prosperity that Isaac had. It tells the story of him moving into this place called the Valley of Gerar and settling there. So there's just a few verses from that I want us to pick up on today. Genesis 26, 18 is the first one. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. Now, to be established, I've already said it looks like continually living in his presence, but it also looks like honoring the past. So Abraham was a pioneer, and he'd settled this land before Isaac, and this area was on the edge of a desert, so it was quite a desolate place, so wells were incredibly important. And when someone dug a well, it was the same as them basically staking a claim on the land. Once they dug that well, that land was theirs. Now, if we were to dig a well now, there'd be a bit of hard work, but we'd get well drilling equipment, it would happen pretty quickly. But can you imagine drilling a well back then? No equipment to find the water, hand tools, no modern technology. A lot of hard work went into finding the water, digging the well. No, that just would have been backbreaking work. And then settling the land. So Isaac comes along, he finds these wells, he reopens them, and it says he gives them the same name that his father Abraham had. He honors the work of the past. Now, honoring the past is not the same as living in the past and thinking, I wish we could go back to that. I wish we were in those good old days. It's not that. But it does mean that we are grateful for the past, grateful for the good things of where we've come from. It means that we reflect as well, and we work out with God what needs to be carried from the past into the future. It means learning from the past as well. Now, there are deep wells in this church, and I mean spiritual wells, not physical ones that we know of. There are deep wells in this church, wells of his presence, wells of worship, of creativity, of freedom, of breakthrough, and many other wells. I wanted to mention those ones this morning. So how do we honor these wells? This is a rhetorical question. How do we honor these? What are the wells in our own lives, the wells of our past, maybe it's generations before you, that God wants to reopen so that his work can be established in us? What are the prophetic words that God has spoken that need to be declared again in your life? Now, as a church, we've always had a focus on youth. And so we've got 24/7 youth workers, we've got a youth group. And before that, we had a youth centre. Before that, right back at the beginning, we had a youth drop-in cafe. So there's always been ministry into the community with youth. But it wasn't until, I think, the start of last year that we finally, I think we were sitting in a staff meeting maybe, and we finally linked this continual emphasis on youth ministry with the original heart for Thrive Church when it was planted in 1988. Because one of the elders of the sending church had said that this church was to be planted into the center of Rangiora with an emphasis on youth. And I don't know why it took us that long to see this, but it was happening, and it had started with a prophetic declaration over the church. And so we spoke it out again last year, and we know that this is one of the wells that has to remain open in this church. So there's always going to be a focus towards youth. It doesn't mean we're going to have not have other focuses, but we know that that is important for us to steward. Now, is there a purpose, a call over your life or over your family that needs to be re-identified and declared again? take some time with God to think about that. Genesis 26, on to verse 19, it says, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. So they didn't just unblock the old wells, they dug new ones, because we know God is always doing something new, something fresh. And they actually ended up having to dig more wells because there was opposition. But in verse 22 it said, he dug another well, no one quarreled over it, and he named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. There's that word flourish again. On to verses 32 and 33. That day Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug, and they said, we've found water. He called it Sheba, and to this day the name of the town has been Beersheba. Now, that was a long time before Jesus that happened. And archaeologists say that Beersheba remained inhabited until about the 1500s. You think how many generations that is. And the modern city of Beersheba is actually only about 3 miles away. So Isaac had dug a well that was for many generations to come. Not only did him and his children benefit from it, but probably countless generations had benefited from that well. So he carried vision for the future, and he was intentional in building into the next generation. So like I've said, to be established requires us to continually live in him. It requires us to honor the past. What are those things that God wants us to call up again? And it requires us to look to the future. Because being established looks like intentionally planning, being intentional and building for the next generation. It calls us to live with intentionality and purpose. See, we believe that God has amazing plans for this generation. There's your generation, everybody in here. It's about the generation of our youth, the generation of our children. This generation, and I think particularly over our youth and over our children and young adults, this generation carries the power and the potential for reformation. This is a generation that the enemy has been attacking in a way unlike most of us have ever seen before. There's a battle over the lives of our kids. It's a battle that we as parents have been engaged in. Now, John 10, Jesus says, the devil seeks only to steal, kill, and destroy. He has sought in every way possible to steal, kill, and destroy from our children, from our youth, the hope that they carry, their identity, even their lives. He has been all out on this generation. And we know that, you know, he knows, and I think I said this last year, he knows even better than we do the potential that we carry. And that is why his attack can be so vicious. He knows the unstoppable force that we can all really be if we know who we are as children of God, if we know who we are and we know whose we are. Living as God's sons and daughters, he knows the power that we carry within us to bring change to the world around us. In John 10:10, Jesus goes on to say, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Fullness of life, not just a little bit of life, but fullness of life. That is a promise for every one of us. So what are we doing to intentionally build into the next generation? Each one of us, what are we doing? If we don't keep on building into this next generation, we cannot, as a family or as a church, be established. We cannot be permanent and secure, because eventually we would die out. So we need to be building into the next generation. Glenn and I had the amazing privilege of joining Ella and Eli and the team, and so many of our youth and youth leaders from across the region at Wainui for our New Life Summer Camp back in January. And I wish you could have all been there. I wish we kind of almost could have captured what happened there and let you guys see and feel and just sense what was happening. But the hunger and passion and worship was like we've never seen before in that kind of environment. And that was from the very first night. This wasn't just something that you kind of build on. It was there from the first night. And you've heard us say a little few things about the last night, but I just want to share a little bit more. On that last night, we were worshiping. Nobody was ministering, nobody was praying, doing anything like that. We were just worshiping. And then you could literally kind of feel in the atmosphere, and I almost felt like this wave come at me, but it felt like something was about to happen, like the air was charged with the sense that God was about to do something. And then a girl got up and shared a vision that she'd seen of angels. Acts 2, just so we can put a scripture to this, and I think that this is talking from a prophecy that Joel had given. God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men and women will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. So God speaks to our spirit. He speaks in the language of visions and dreams. And he spoke to this girl, and she saw angels, and other people had seen angels as well over that weekend. As soon as she said that, though, it was just like there was a release. The Holy Spirit just started doing his work, not orchestrated by anyone. There was like laughter going on over here. Spontaneous deliverance like happening in multiple places. There was physical healings. Nobody prayed for them. They were just healed. The fire of God coming on youth. There was mental and emotional healing. And I had a really big privilege to pray with a group of friends, and two in particular told me the struggles that they had had for a number of years with self-harm and suicide. And they were just asking for prayer, and it was amazing just watching what the Holy Spirit did, watching the freedom that happened as they poured out their hearts to God in repentance. That's where it started. They just pouring out their hearts to God in repentance, the forgiveness that they received, and the healing, and just watching his presence just saturate them, just fill them to overflowing and heal them. And afterwards, one of them said to me, I didn't think I'd ever come back to God, but I think I just did. That was the Holy Spirit doing his work. And two of her sisters came over to me with tears in their eyes, and they said, we've been praying for this for so long. Just one encounter with God can change everything. Now, something that God said very clearly to me, and I think this is a warning for us, he said to me at that camp before that, I can't remember which day it was, I'm going to share it because many times when God is doing something new, he will start with the youth. And maybe it's because they don't carry a whole lot of doubts like, is this really how God would do something? Would God really do this? Is it really of God? Maybe it's the hunger that they carry, but I felt God say, don't stop what I'm doing. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Now, to all of us, when we start to see, because we are going to see, when we start to see a great outpouring of the presence of God in this church and in our world, let us not allow our attitudes, our questions, the doubts, to quench what the Holy Spirit wants to do. I remember back in the 90s, sorry, this is a little bit heavier in this moment, back in the 90s when God was pouring out in a new way over this nation. And some of us, I was a youth then, some of us would have extra prayer meetings. We were just so hungry for God, and we were experiencing God breaking out in our various gatherings, and that would look like similar stuff, deliverance happening, laughter happening. And I don't remember exactly what happened, but I just remember this feeling of people like frowning on what was happening, and a kind of feeling like, oh, maybe we were doing something wrong, and was this of God? Now, this wasn't just what we felt personally, but this move had been happening like across the nation and definitely in Christchurch, and it was just like all of a sudden it stopped or kind of depleted a bit. Who knows what would have happened if that outpouring had been nurtured in this nation? Who knows what maybe we could have avoided over the last few years if we had nurtured the presence of God and what he wanted to do? To the youth, what dreams are you carrying in your heart? What are you desiring? What are those deep things that God's put within you? To the adults, what are we building for the next generation? Are our hearts open to what God wants to do? What vision has God given us? Are we living with purpose, each one of us? And maybe we're still holding on to some dreams. Maybe some of us have let them go, and it's time to dream again with him. And if our dream can just be fulfilled by us, by this current generation, by this group of people, I think our dream's too small. So maybe it's time for us to dream bigger. Can we just stand to our feet? Just encourage each one of us just to welcome the Holy Spirit just to speak to you in whatever way he wants to, and just even be okay with him putting his finger on something. Hosea 2:23. God says, I will establish my people in the land and make them prosper. That is every person in this room, every person watching online, all of us. But it goes on to say this, I will show love to those who were called unloved, and to those who were called not my people, I will say, you are my people, and they will answer, you are our God. See, God is establishing us, but it's not just about us. It's not just us becoming stronger and more permanent in him just for the sake of that. God has a massive heart of love for those who don't yet know him, for those who are still to encounter his love. And this verse shows God's incredible heart for those people who have worn the label of unloved. It says he will show them love. For those people who have felt like they don't belong, who have been called not my people, he will call them my people. This is a verse for us, for our community and our nation. God is establishing us. He is establishing us so that we can bear fruit in every season, that this fruit would be a blessing to the lives of those around us, to our families, so that we can be a people who build legacy together, who live with purpose, carrying his heart through the generations and building something permanent that's going to impact the lives of generations to come. Psalm 90, Moses is praying and he says this, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. It's time for us to allow him to do his work in us to another level. There's a lot more. And I know, and Glenn's going to be speaking about this in coming weeks, but I feel like God's putting his finger on the stuff as well that we would have thought, oh, maybe that doesn't matter, or it's just the little things. God's putting his finger on those things. He's doing a bigger and a deeper work in us. We need to allow him to do this so that we can become firmly established, permanent and secure. It's time for the church to stand tall in its identity as the bride of Christ in a place of greater strength, purpose, and influence. Now, I just want to pray over all of us, and if you'd like to receive this, just put your hand over your heart if you want to be part of this and say, God, I want you to establish your work in me. Then put your hand on your heart, and we're just going to pray together and then have some ministry. Father, we thank you that you are good. That your heart towards us is a heart of love. God, that you're calling us those who you love, that you're calling us those who belong to you. And we thank you for that. But I thank you too, God, that at this time you are calling us up to be established firmly in you. To be those trees that are planted by streams of living water that are sending out our roots towards those streams. God, let us not settle for anything less than your fresh living water every day. And God, I thank you that you are the God of all grace. We thank you for your work and over every person today, no matter where they're at. I thank you that you are restoring today. That you are confirming, that you are strengthening, and that you are establishing us. God, let us open our hearts to you in new ways. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your comfort over your people so that we can open our hearts to you, so that fear would not hold us back, in Jesus' name. May we be ones who stand strong, permanent, and secure in you. May we be ones who know the call that you've placed on our lives, who walk out our lives with purpose, God, may we be ones who honor the past. And if there are wells within our family that we need to be calling on again, God, wells of prophetic words that you've spoken over us, I thank you for you just quickening those words to our mind again, that we can just declare out your word. God, let us be those who live with legacy in mind, who are not restricted by our ways of thinking, who are not restricted by what we've seen before, but whose eyes are open to see the new things that you're doing. And God, may your favor be on us. May you establish your work in us. May you establish the work of your hands. God, may you establish us firmly, securely in you.